You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Hello and welcome to the MLS UK show. I'm Henry Hewitt, once again from Spain, and this time I'm joined by
Elliot Holman. Hello there. I'm back. It feels like my first podcast in a very long time.
Because it has been. It's been a month since you've been with us. We've done a month of interviews. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a moment. What everyone wants to know is, how was the honeymoon? How was Bali? Did you manage to watch much MLS while you were out there?
Loads of MLS, because MLS mornings, the time zone is so good. You get Premier League mornings in America, but highly recommend Bali for MLS mornings, just as the sun's rising. Sat and watched Orlando, so good. But yeah, had the best time, met such lovely people. Seriously, everybody in Bali was incredible, and we saw some amazing sights and actually just chilled out loads as well, which is really unheard of for me. So but back to it, we've got stuff to do.
Yeah, back to your garage in Derby, the delights, the glamour of Derby. But we will be back doing a full episode next week, so I can't wait for that. But first, we need to complete our month of interviews. So far, we've heard from Danny Higginbottom, Andrew Wiebe, Drew Yearwood of New York Red Bulls last week. And now to round it off is Jack Elliott from Philadelphia Union. Now, I mean, I could have done it, Elliot. I could have given you an extra week off before we come back to it. But there is a very important reason why you were the perfect man to do this interview, and that is?
My name is Elliot Jack. I'm Elliot Jack Holman. My middle name is Jack after my granddad. It just seemed right, didn't it? And you know, when you sign up for things on Facebook, like I was Elliot Jack on Facebook. So for example, my account, online account that we get takeaway delivered from, they do surname then first name. So it always says Jack Elliot. So he's like, a delivery for Jack Elliot. I just go along with it. It seemed perfect. Written in the stars.
Yeah, although if it was for the way he's been playing, if it wasn't a delivery for Jack Elliot, you'd be taking the Chinese and kicking it away. And it wouldn't go anywhere near your house.
So you're right.
Now it's time to hear how Elliot got on interviewing Jack Elliot at the Philadelphia Union. Just briefly, you can introduce this. I've done enough work this month, but what shall we expect from it?
I really enjoyed this because it was different. Whenever I've interviewed an MLS player, they've been at home, they've been chilling on a day off. Jack had just finished training. So he was still at the training facility at Philadelphia. He did the interview in the media room. So really grateful to the club for setting that up. And he just finished training and I asked what he got up to and he gave us a really nice insight. So enjoy.
MLS UK show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
It's the MLS UK show. I'm Elliot Holman, or I should use my middle name, which is Jack. I'm Elliot Jack, and I'm very happy to welcome Jack Elliot to the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Not confusing at all. You're a little more famous than me and a lot better at football than me. How are you doing? Have you just finished training?
Yeah, we just finished a little bit ago. Had lunch and now I'm in here.
Nice. Okay. Well, we'll try not to take up too much of your day, but I love that you're kind of there now at Philadelphia. That's really cool for us because normally people are just like chilling at home. What went on in training? You don't have to give away any secrets, but what did you work on today? I'm genuinely interested.
Today it was a pressing day, high load day, so it was a tough one. So if I'm a bit off the ball, it's because I'm still tired.
Okay, well, I won't press you too much, I promise. You're in an elite club of players that have played, born here in the UK and are now applying your trade over in the States. It's really exciting to chat to you. It feels like it's been a long time coming. Loads of people have asked us to chat to you, so I know this is going to be a well-watched episode. A lot of people are going to be interested in this. Do you have to spend all of your time convincing people in Britain that MLS is great? Because that's what I feel like my life is all about.
Yeah, I'm glad someone's taken that burden. I keep myself to myself. If people don't want to disrespect the league and stuff like that, then they've never watched it properly. So it's one of those. But I'm glad someone's fighting the good fight.
Yeah, we're into season 5 now, and do you know what? If we're gonna be honest about it, when we started to now is an incredible journey. Not for us, for the league. Like where it was even just 5 years ago versus now is genuinely incredible. You'll know that more than most, but just seeing it from this side of the pond, obviously we're getting more and more coverage over here. Goals on Sunday on Sky start showing MLS games. Maybe more specifically the Philly game at the weekend for various reasons. But there's certainly been so much more coverage. So it's really, really cool for us to see the progression. Obviously, I want to talk about your success in MLS in a bit. But first, can you take us back to the start of your career in England and how it all came about for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was mainly played amateur youth. I was in Fulham's academy for a year when I was really young and small. I was, I think, 12, 13. And then I was released from there and went on to just play Sunday League and play with my school team. And that's playing three times a week at least, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. And then as I got older, 15, 16, there's a men's team associated with my high school. So I started playing with them on Saturday afternoons too. And that's actually where I was scouted to go to college. I was scouted by a guy who was at West Virginia, the college that I ended up going to. And he saw me play while he was back. He was back playing in the same games as me, and he saw me playing, and he asked me if I wanted to go and join West Virginia and take that opportunity to like continue playing football at a good level and get an education too. So I jumped at the idea. I never looked back from there, and spent three and a half years in West Virginia, played full college, and you know the facilities and everything is great about the system. It's almost a professional level with the facilities that are there, the nutritional stuff, like the weight room stuff, all that kind of all the infrastructure and everything is great, and the competition's good. But then after that, I got drafted to the Philadelphia Union. I came here and, you know, I've not looked back since. I was 2017, March, January 2017. I was drafted in January and then signed in around March or February.
Yeah, so when you go over to college, are you aware that it's kind of a well-trodden path that you play college and then there's the potential of MLS? Was that even on your mind or was it purely just to play some football?
It was both. I was obviously there was that in the back of my mind. I never put all my eggs in that basket, obviously knowing how difficult it would be. But I think when I got there and kept advancing, I thought, yeah, it's definitely something I could do. And then at the end of my time at West Virginia, I got the chance to go to the draft and Philly took a punt on me as well. And still here 6 years later.
And you do you know what? You've been there a long while for what is an MLS player. You know, normally we see a lot of trades, a lot of movement. The first interview we ever did years ago was with Mo Adams, and he got drafted to Chicago, and he told us that there was like, it's crazy, like he genuinely didn't know which club he was going to go to. For you, do you know that there was other clubs interested?
I saw at the draft you have interviews and stuff. I was never a high prospect or anything, and you know, seeing 3 games over 4 days in the draft or whatever it is you don't see an awful lot unless you're a worldie or whatever. So I got talked to by Colorado and Philadelphia. So I guess those are the two teams looking, and in the end, Philadelphia just took me in the fourth round. So they just said, why not? Let's see what you got.
So when you get drafted, obviously it's amazing. It's a massive moment in your career, and it's turned out to be a really important one. But in that actual moment, you know that there's obviously the steal where, you know, you might be getting some game time. Were you at that point, are you thinking, I might come on a sub a few times, or are you genuinely like, I'm going to play first team football this first year? Like I'm going to get minutes.
Yeah. When I first got here, I felt confident. I felt good in my football abilities compared to the people that were here and compared to other players. And I think that was important for me to see that I like making the step, I can mix it, and like it's my skill level is on par with them and stuff like that. So I just came and I played my game, and for the start I was playing centre midfield for a while just because I played centre back and centre midfield, and I thought, oh, I'd play a few games for a steal. But then it's obviously the circumstances and chance which can help to help me break through. And I think my first season we didn't start amazingly, and then 4 or 5 games in, one of the centre backs got concussion in the first half against DC away, and I think we may have already been 2-0 down at the time, so I came on. No, nothing to lose. So I just
no pressure.
Came on, played, and I think we might have lost 2-1 in the end. But I played well and saw again that I could handle the level and play at the level, and that was important for me to see personally. And then I think for the coaches as well, they also saw that I was someone that could handle that level, handle the pressure, and you know, it makes it easier to make the decision when it comes to allow me to start and whatnot. I think after that game, I played for the Steel, Bethlehem Steel, and I played centre midfield. And I was just sitting in the middle of the pitch. I was getting the ball and just spraying it. Like, it was just one of those games. It was just so much fun because I think in the first 15 minutes, one of their players got a red card, so it was even better for me to just, I was just dropping in and just spraying it either way, and I just had a good game in there. And then I think the next week I was Jim told me that like they were looking to start me against New York City, and I was so excited, and I was like, oh, I can't believe it. And then I started thinking, I was like, oh, do you mind if I swear?
No, you swear away.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's David Villa's team, isn't it? In my head, I was like, oh, that'll be a good one to start on. I had a solid game aside from the goal that everyone remembers. But I think within the first 30 minutes, he was about to spin in behind me. I had to chop him down and take a yellow card. So it was definitely a great occasion for me. And I had a solid game, and one of those ones I just continued to play on from there, and like playing against someone who's done what he's done, won the World Cup, Euros, and being able to deal with him enough that he's having to score from the halfway line.
I genuinely remember these, you know, the DC game, the New York game, because back then it was a big deal that we had a British player playing in MLS. Now it's obviously more common. It's getting more and more common. But I'm glad you touched on David Villa, because that was then for you. You know, you came into MLS and you're like, I've got to deal with David Villa. But now, like, you know, kids are getting drafted out of college and they're having to deal with, you know, even more. There's MLS is growing and growing, and there's now so much talent in there. It must be pretty daunting, some of the names you can line up against. And we hear so much. There's kids, you know, lining up in the same team or against players that they idolized in the Premier League like 10 years ago when they were growing up. It's a mad league.
Yeah, I mean, that was me against Alvier. That's me against quite a few players that I've played against. Playing against Rooney was an incredible experience too. I've watched him since I was young. 10 years old, and there's me playing against him, and then playing against him again at the weekend it was pretty surreal. The first time, you know, there's tons of other players, and it's a crazy experience.
This podcast is we tend not to focus too specifically on particular games, but I cannot not ask you about the weekend. You know, you just mentioned Wayne Rooney as an idol growing up, and then that happened at the weekend. Talk me through your feelings about that game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a great game for us. Started off not too well in the first 15 minutes. Could have conceded, and that could have changed the game for everyone. But we stuck with it, and you know, ended up coming away 6-0, and you know, beating them 6-0 and 7-0 in one season, not something that you really expect to happen. But I think it speaks a lot to our team now, especially in the past month or two, we've been ruthless. And I think continuing on, that's something that we're going to look to be doing.
Absolutely. The last interview I did was with Liam Ridgewell, and he named Dom Dwyer as the player he liked playing against the most because he had a bit of rough and tumble with him. Who are the players that you kind of look forward to the challenge of, but you don't particularly relish it at the time?
Let me think. So that's an interesting question. There's a lot of good players. I like Josef Martínez is also always a good battle. He's a very good player. Off the ball, his movement's incredible, and you know, it's a challenge, and the challenge is something that I like, and you know, it's always good feeling if he doesn't score.
I think you've got him in an aerial battle. I think you're all right.
Yeah, I think I win most of those duels, but he can jump, to be fair to him, and he's got a bicycle stick on him too, so you got to be wary of that, getting your head knocked off.
That's true. What about players you've lined up alongside? You know, Philly players, even just in the last 5 years alone, there's been some real talent from coming through at Philly. Who have been the best that you've played with?
Yeah, I mean, when I when I first got drafted, I was playing with Gucci Onyewu and Moe Adu, who I'd watched growing up in Wicau because I'm a Rangers fan, and I'd seen him score some like very important goals for Rangers. So I was a huge fan of him. He was like a cult hero at Rangers, and you know, I was definitely on board with that. So that was another like surreal thing for me to come into a club with guys like that. And obviously Ale, who I'm still playing with now, I watched him when he was at Rangers and I'd known about him and like been playing on FIFA with these guys like 10 years ago, just like playing career mode and stuff like that. It's crazy.
I spoke to Chris Mueller and he said that when Nani arrived, he had to give him his shirt number. And he said it was like a genuine pleasure because he used to, like, when he played in the park as a kid, like, he, you know, like when you're messing around, you do commentary of goals and stuff, he'd be like, Nani! And he's like, and now he's just joined the club and I'm having to give him my number. Like, it's something special about, like, when it's someone, like, when you've supported Rangers and, you know, you're playing with these legends. It's so cool. That's why we love MLS.
Yeah. And then obviously the recent player, they have like Aaron Brendan, who's doing so well right now and happy to see, and just quality players all around. Harris Medinian, also a very, very top quality player, one of the best technical players I've ever seen on the ball. And you know, it's even players that a lot of people don't necessarily know about are just so good, and you know, make the league what it is today as well. I think there's a lot of players out there that are really good that haven't come from Europe or the big teams, and have added so much to the league and are scary to play against when you have to come up against them.
I'd have to agree. I think obviously a lot of attention goes on the DPs, a lot of attention goes on the attacking players, the big names who have played in the Premier League, but you can easily watch an MLS game between two teams, you know, maybe in the Western Conference over here, it's 3-4 in the morning, and you know that there'll be a I don't know, someone playing CDM that's just absolutely running the game that no one's really paid any attention to before. I love seeing people thrive amongst all these massive names. It's so cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And there's a lot of them. Just quality level of the league is just the base of it has just gone up, and the ceiling of it's gone up even further too. So
I don't mind admitting that I've been fairly critical recently in the last year or so of, there's been a lot of players leaving to go to Europe. I personally, my personal opinion, it's not Jack's opinion, is that it's been too soon. Like, they're going too early. And I know there's other motivations. I know it's dream moves for some players, but one of them that's certainly worked out, you just mentioned his name, Brendan Aaronson. There, the top two games for me at the weekend was Philly, DC, and of course Leeds United, where Brendan just absolutely ran the game. It was unbelievable. Tell me about this kid, because we've all watched him in MLS. We all know how good he is, but how nice is it to see someone go to the Premier League, actually get minutes, and then prove everybody wrong, essentially, about MLS and about this league that we love? The guy is just incredible.
Yeah, it's great to see. And he's a great kid and was always willing to learn, even though you can see he's good. And I think when you're that good, you know you're that good. But he was always willing to learn and ask questions. He was a really humble kid that just worked hard and got on with it. And you know, that's why he is where he is. And obviously a great player that's grown a lot. He's added goals, assists, final passes to his game, which obviously when you're younger is difficult, but he's added it in such a short space of time that it's incredible to see. And yeah, it's great to see. And obviously the other players that have come from MLS in that team too, with Harrison and Adams too. It's nice to see that you know it works out, and you know the league produces good talent and is like good to almost prove people wrong who don't want to give these people a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you getting him to have a word in Jesse's ear and say, do you need a centre back at all?
maybe later.
Yeah. To be fair, it looks like Chelsea were more in need of a centre back than Leeds at the weekend. It's fair to say, obviously, this season it's going pretty well. You guys, sitting top of the East, second in the Shield. You just told me you've had a tough training session. Jim's obviously still working you guys hard. It sounds a stupid question, but I'm being serious. What is the target for this season? Because I know some managers won't let you think too far ahead. Are you going for the Shield?
Yeah, I think it's still in contention. Obviously, we take care of our own business. Whatever happens. But I mean, the main thing for us is just taking care of our business and continuing to play well and continuing to win and really securing the top spot in the East and let the West take care of itself and however that shakes out. I mean, it's not in our hands anymore. But what is our performance and how we finish the season.
Only 4 games lost this season. As someone playing your position, you must be pretty happy with that.
It's an achievement, and the clean sheets and the goals against us is something that we take pride in as a team. And as a centre back, it's one of your top priorities. But it's really a team thing for us. If there's not everyone working to it, then it's tough to really deal with the players that are in this league. And there's some really, really top talents that can hurt you if everyone's not on the same page.
And the travelling is something that a lot of people don't really take into account if they've not watched a lot of the league before, if they don't know a lot about MLS. When you're sitting top of the East, I bet it's much easier to get a midweek flight over to the West and go and perform than when you're languishing at the bottom, struggling for confidence. The travel must be such a massive part of what you guys go through.
Yeah, it is. And then traveling to different climates too, and altitudes and all that kind of stuff is tough. And last week we played at home and then we're playing to Dallas. Got to Dallas and it's 100 degrees, 35 to 40 Celsius. And then after Dallas, fly straight home. You get home at 4 o'clock in the morning and you got another game in two days in DC, which thankfully wasn't as hot as that. But, it's a mental and a physical battle to get your body right and in your head to know that your body's right to be able to perform again.
You get home at 4 a.m. You've got a 2-day break, and then Jim's still got you pressing like mad the next morning.
Yeah, sometimes the Saturday one after the Wednesday is an easier thing in your head, knowing that you got a week in between the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before I let you go, I've got to ask you about Jim. He's been there the whole time I've been fascinated with MLS and doing this podcast, and he seems like he's really put his stamp on the club from top to bottom. What's it been like working with him, and how important has it been for your game, and what's he helped you develop?
Yeah, he's obviously a great coach that has done great things here, and him being a centre back has helped me specifically. Obviously, I was fairly young and inexperienced when I got here, and he's taught me things about playing centre back, and as a professional as a whole that have brought me here today. And it's something that has helped me to become a centre back in this league and continue to perform every week. And I know he trusts in me, and that's something that is important. And knowing that mistakes are sometimes going to be made, but you know, he's always got your back and support you in that.
I can definitely tell, you know, the with the stamp that he's put on the club, the way that every, you know, that goal, the Leeds goal was literally a Jim Curtin goal coming from the press. He's really, really put his stamp on everything. So really, really impressive. We wish you guys a lot of luck for the rest of the season. I know LAFC get a lot of attention because they've got a lot of Galacticos, but I think we like the way Philly play. We like seeing what you guys do. So best of luck.
All right. Cheers, mate.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
So there we go. Jack Elliott being interviewed by Elliot Jack. How was that, Elliot, getting back into the swing of things?
I feel like it was okay. There was a lot of pressure. You'd done like three really good interviews. I was listening on my honeymoon. I was watching them on the plane on YouTube. So the pressure was on, but I really enjoyed it. He gave us some really good insight. He's obviously loving life at Philadelphia. He feels at home. You know, he's from the draft, broken straight into that team and never looked back, and obviously understandably loves working under Jim Curtin, and even though he does get them working hard with that press.
Yeah, well, when I spoke to Danny Higginbottom off air, he said about Jack Elliott, and he said he's such a great guy. And I mean, funnily enough, we actually got offered this separately to that. I don't know whether they'd watched the Danny Higginbottom interview and been impressed, but yeah, when we got offered, I was like, no, this is no problems with this. He seems a great guy. I've been told some great stuff about him. And then to, you know, to hear your interview then, it's, yeah, it was really a good interview to end our month of interviews on, wasn't it?
Yeah, we even I call it passion, because we got some bad language from Jack as well, which is really good for the kids, inspiring for the kids. But yeah, really, really good insight. Really enjoyed speaking to him. And yeah, it was time to get back to the usual drivel, I think.
Yeah, so next week we're back with a first full episode in about a month. Nothing's happened in MLS since then. We've not had record goal weekends, teams winning 6-7-0. Teams getting beat 6-7-0. English, new English head coach is coming in and not doing quite as well as we would have hoped. Nothing has happened at all, so I'm sure we'll have a nothing to talk about next week.
Yeah, teams signing players from Barcelona. Nothing interesting. But yeah, we'll be back with the usual nonsense next week.
We will. If you've enjoyed our month-long interviews, month of interviews, they've not been month-long, they may seem it with some of the stuff we've been saying. But if you've enjoyed our month of interviews, then please leave a rating and a review on your podcast provider. But there's one rule and one rule only, Elliot.
5 stars only. LA Galaxy style.
That's right. Also on YouTube, please subscribe, click the notification bell. Like the videos as well, because that really means a lot. And yeah, if you do subscribe, then you'll know as soon as we drop another episode. But until then, I've been Henry Hewitt.
I've been Elliot Holman. Hi, it's lovely to be back. Thanks for having me.
And all I've got to say from Spain, once again, adios.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.